Is that the Hudson River over there on my right?
It sure is, Marshal. Burgoyne is finally in Fort Edward, where he hoped to connect with his supply line being shipped from Lake George, and the rebels pulled back from their position just south of the village. Even Digby is feeling positive.
As yet, the fickle goddess Fortune had smiled upon our arms and crowned our wishes with every kind of success, which might easily be seen from the great spirits the army in general were in, and the most sanguine hopes of conquest and victory.
So Burgoyne has nearly done it. He has reached the Hudson, the rebels are on the run. What is it, like 40 or 50 miles to Albany?
Close, but no cigar yet. There is still a rebel force standing between Burgoyne and his objective, Albany. According to Digby, Benedict Arnold showed up just in time to have a little fun with Burgoyne.
The enemy were encamped about 4 miles from us, but it was not thought they intended to make a stand. At this time, a letter appeared addressed to General Burgoyne, I believe found nailed to a tree. There was no name signed, yet it was thought, how true heaven only knows, to be wrote by Brigadier General Arnold, who opposed our fleet the preceding year on Lake Champlain, and was then second in command under General Gates. He first tells him not to be too much elated on his rapid progress, as all he had as yet gained was uncultivated desert.
Here's how Arnold concluded the letter.
Thus far shalt thou go, and no farther.
Wow, Arnold is back and ready to make a stand.
I don't know whether or not he really wrote the letter to Burgoyne, but we know he was near here from other correspondence.
Grandpa, who was General Gates?
General Horatio Gates was the guy who took command over the Continental Army's Northern Department after General Schuyler was court-martialed following St. Clair's retreat from Ticonderoga. Why don't you see what else you can dig up about him on the website?
Let's see. Horatio Gates was born in England, where he became an officer in the British Army.
Yeah, but Gates found that no positions at that rank were available, and he got jerked around by the British establishment. He got frustrated, so he retired from the British military and moved his family to America. Let me see that for a second. Gates bought 659 acres on the Potomac River and became a local justice and a lieutenant colonel in the militia.
Oh, I see. He was one of a few guys that had experience with the regular army fighting in Gentleman's War.
Yes. Gates had previous wartime service in administrative posts, which was invaluable to the rebel army, but see, what he wanted was a field command. Having served under General Schuyler in the Northern Department, Gates led a successful command to replace Schuyler following his court-martial. So Gates was now the top dog and on the other side of the Hudson preparing for Burgoyne. Burgoyne set up camp in Fort Edward. He took up headquarters here at what was the Red House, now known as the Old Fort House Museum. This is where Baroness Radaisel finally caught up with her husband.
The surrounding country was magnificent, and we were encircled by the encampments of the English and the German troops. We lived in a building called the Red House. I had only one room for my husband, myself, and my children. When it was beautiful weather, we took our meals under the trees, but if not, in a barn, upon boards, which were laid upon casks and served as a table. It was at this place that I ate bear's flesh for the first time and found it of capital flavor. We were often put to it to get anything to eat. Notwithstanding this, however, I was very happy and content, for I was with my children and beloved by those by whom I was surrounded. The evening was spent by the gentlemen in playing cards and by myself in putting my children to bed.
Is there a fort in Fort Edward in 1777?
No, but this had been a strategic military location because it is the southern end of the carry to Lake George. Burgoyne secured this position and placed Radaisel's troops around the house. The long line of soldiers and camp followers converged on the small wilderness community. The trick was figuring out how to feed all these people with the supply line so extended.
On account of our continual lack of provisions, we cannot continue our march as yet.
I didn't realize how much planning was needed to fight a war. The logistics, food, munitions, and transportation. It is all just as important as the execution of battles, isn't it?
You bet it is. In this wilderness, unless you hold the field and can sustain your possession of it, it doesn't belong to you. This is part of Burgoyne's problem. The further he gets from the source of his supplies, the more people and effort it takes to sustain it. Remember, they are coming from Canada. The flow of provisions needs to be constant, or he'd have to stockpile supplies. Otherwise, your troops will desert or starve. One of Burgoyne's lieutenants declared that for every hour Burgoyne spent thinking how to fight his army, he had to devote 20 hours to figuring out how to feed it.
Whoa, that's a headache on top of being hungry. But he's only 50 miles away from Albany. Is the rest of the plan coming together? The guys from the south and west?
On August 3rd, just a few days after he arrived here in Fort Edward, Burgoyne received a message from Howe. Three mounted men, a British officer, and two soldiers made it from Howe's camp through the rebel lines to Burgoyne. This is the first that he has heard from Howe since he left Canada.
We do not yet know anything of what the officer from New York has brought us from General Howe, except that our main army stands both in and around New York.
The letter was enclosed in a silver bullet to be swallowed in the instance that the soldiers were captured.
Silver bullets, 18th century spy technology.
Here's what Howe said in the letter.
My intention is for Pennsylvania, where I expect to meet Washington.
Pennsylvania?
But if he goes to the northward, contrary to my expectations, and you can keep him at bay, be assured I shall soon be after him to relieve you.
He's after Washington. He's not thinking about Burgoyne's plan.
Burgoyne has got himself in a few sticky situations.
Sticky situation one, Howe's not on his way.
Sticky situation two, the Indians are stirring up all kinds of trouble.
Oh, and sticky situation number three must be the shortage on supplies.
And one more. The militia and Continental Army are getting organized and gathering to oppose him. Burgoyne needs to do something.
What about Radaisel's plan? The one to get horses for the dragoons and supplies from New England?
Good thinking. That is exactly what he does. Burgoyne gathers Radaisel's dragoons under Lieutenant Colonel Friedrich Baum here to lay out the plan.
The intention of this expedition is to drive into the sentiments of the inhabitants, to remount the regiment of dragoons and attempt furnishing the army with horses, cattle, and wagons. Wherever he passes, he is to make the inhabitants believe that the corps which he commands is the vanguard of the enemy, which is to take the route of Boston.
What does that mean, vanguard of the enemy?
The lead army, it's a fake out. Making the inhabitants think that the main direction of the army was Boston instead of Albany. Burgoyne had received word from Skeen, in fact, that there was a rebel supply depot that was poorly defended and filled with supplies in Bennington, Vermont, about 30 miles southeast of here. He detached Baum with about 700 men on the mission. It isn't exactly the plan that Radaisel had laid out.
The enemy supplies in live cattle from a large tract of country passed by the routes of Manchester, Arlington, and other parts of the Hampshire Grants to Bennington. A large deposit of corn and wheel carriages was also formed at the same place. A scheme was formed to surprise Bennington. The possession of the cattle and carriages would certainly have enabled the army to leave their distant magazines and to have acted with energy and dispatch.
So Baum and his men moved to the head of Burgoyne's army, led by Fraser, and continued on through here on their way to Bennington on August 11th.
Well, does the plan work?
Well, let's get a little further and we will soon find out.
Ah, oh, Grandpa.